That's the spirit.
Hi, Peter, are you there?
I am here, yes,
you
indeed.
Say hello.
I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Yes.
Very good.
I'm nervous. Firstly, I would just like to ask, how do I pronounce what you're talking about?
Yes. So they're not actually very difficult words. Synod on synodality, but it sounds like a paradox. How can you have a meeting called a synod that is discussing what is a synod? But you have to understand that the Catholic Church often talks in riddles, and this is one of those classic cases of it. So I just fill you in a little bit of background. From 2022, the Pope, who, of course, has gained a huge reputation as a reforming Pope, doing things that many other popes wouldn't dream of doing, opening subjects for discussing, jumping on the phone to talk to lesbian and trans couples and, you know, doing unusual things because he's clearly concerned about that kind of pastoral reputation that the Catholic Church has. Its reputation of how does it deal with people. So he called this synod on synodality and said, what are the matters you want to talk about? And this question was sent, in effect, to every single Catholic in the world. All parishes, the basic church units of the Catholic Church, were asked to have a discussion. And then they sent their submissions through to their diocese. That's where the bishop is in charge of groups of parishes. And then those were compiled into a national report, then an international regional report, and finally they all came together in Rome in October of last year to discuss the issues which they'd said were important. This is a mind-boggling set of papers, which you understand all get translated into Latin so that everybody can understand them. So it's quite a remarkable affair, because in the end, churches, as in New Zealand, wanted to discuss issues like could women be ordained, perhaps not as priests, but at least as deacons, could divorced people be allowed to take communion? Could people who were gay be allowed to take communion? So lots and lots of very, very hot topics came up. And at the end of the synod, there was kind of no conclusion except see you again in a year's time, in October of this year. So they all go away and prepare to, you know, pack their bags and to think some more on the subjects, expecting that lots of grand decisions are going to be made this year. And that's where the letter that came out 3 days ago comes into the story. So did you read the letter?
Oh, I didn't read the letter. I've been reading articles. Couldn't find the actual letter. I've got a few quotes from the letter in these articles.
Yes. The letter, I might say, I mean, you have to read into the letter to see its significance, because the letter lists 10 subjects that the Synod may talk about, but actually won't talk about. This is confusing. They're going to meet in October of this year, in October 2034, but they're only going to discuss what procedures a Synod ought to have. Doesn't sound very exciting stuff, does it, when you've got all that juicy list in front of you?
No.
And then in June 2025, we are told, the 10 committees that he's appointed to do more research into the topics which he said are important will bring their reports back. Isn't clear to whom they will bring the reports back? Is there going to be another meeting of the Synod? And where are all the topics that we kind of expected would become, you know, really the front-raging topics? Maybe that there is one topic, I think it's topic 5, that might, in sort of true Vatican code, because you've got to understand Vatican talks for the code all the time, some theological and canonical matters regarding specific ministerial forms. That's a bit oblique, isn't it? Or opaque, even. It may be referring to, can women be deacons?
That's the first point that has come up on in this article that I've got, is the first concern is women, and there's photos of protests from Catholic women waiting for equality and the likes.
But you see, the trouble is, this won't be equality anyway.
No.
Because to be a deacon, who has ever heard of a Catholic deacon? They just don't exist, really.
They're not on the chessboard.
Yes, that's right. So, given that there's nothing there to work off, nothing at all, we presume that there'll be very little discussion of hot topics in October. Of course, it was carefully designed so that you never quite directly knew how hot the topics were, because if you've seen any photographs, this enormous gathering, they all simply sat around tables in assigned groups to discuss topics. And I mean, you know what happens with that, that there's no big speeches from the front that could get you up and going, except from from very safe people whose script has been checked by the Vatican itself, you see. But, I mean, I was involved in a little way, because although I'm not a Catholic, I was asked by the Catholic Diocese of Auckland to read through the submissions and make sure they were representing the concerns of their people correctly. In their document, which then had to get sent to the Wellington for the compiling the New Zealand document. And you know, by the time it's gone through two other hoops, there's very little remaining of what the ordinary Catholics of Auckland thought. But, you know, for some people, it seemed like an enormous chance. The Vatican wanted to know what you were concerned about. And the question that everybody will be asking now is, are they too nervous?
Yeah.
You know, has too much been asked for?
Yeah, well, that's the question, is, so they've asked us, we've told them, are they listening? Pretty much.
Yes. Now, I mean, there could be an indirect answer which might be more positive, but I'm inclined to try and find a positive gloss on things. In a way, this whole issue of a synod is what makes the Catholic Church so remarkably different from any other church, because every other church has a system by which people get elected to high positions or appointed, and so that the top is forced to listen to the bottom, because the bottom ensures who gets chosen to do the roles of the top. And now that when a bishop becomes a bishop, the only orders he gets, the only indication, nobody else knows that he's being approached to be bishop. He doesn't certainly know until he's appointed. The Catholic Church goes through whatever means it goes through. Usually there's a Pope's representative in the country that brings a recommendation. And so the result is that sometimes the choice of bishops doesn't seem like what the people would necessarily want. So maybe forcing the church to become, like, to have its own parliament would make quite a change if the church really was to become at least a little bit more democratic.
Yeah.
In
I'm reading that, like, the synodality in general just means to create dialogue and a whole new way of being in the church, is what Pope Francis called it. So is it's a democratic kind of thing?
Well, remember, of course, it's only democratic to a certain point. The Pope in the Catholic Church has extraordinary authority that no other church gives its leader, in that the Pope can declare that an issue is a matter of faith and that you must believe it to be a Catholic. And so this is a power far beyond what any democracy could order. You know, imagine if a democracy ordered us all to believe something.
Yeah.
It wouldn't go very well, would it? So We should never imagine this would become a full democracy, but it seems as though the synodical process is trying to say we do need to be listening before we make decisions. And that, you'd think, would have to be good. And if what came out of it was an actual formal basis upon which consultation had to take place, then I guess that is on the way to change. But the trouble is that the invitation was to say anything that was concerning you and then to reduce it down to a list of 10 things, many of which would be of little relevance to people. You know, how do we relate to the Eastern Orthodox churches is clearly not going to, and it's only some aspects of that, is not going to be a thing that's going to change any ordinary Catholic church.
No.
So it's as though, and I think we have to reckon on the fact that there's been an enormous explosion of anger from the African churches about a document that the Pope issued shortly after the synod ended, which said that priests were allowed to give an informal blessing of gay couples or lesbian couples. And there's been a tide of anger about this, and it's seen as having come out from one of the pressures in the synod. It may or may not have been. I mean, the Pope's inclined to do these things anyway, and it's, after all, it's totally informal. There's no procedure for it to take place. But I think the Pope's facing a boat that's quaking at the moment. You know, sharp differences of left and right have appeared. And so, in the face of this, the Pope's slowed everything down, I think.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens in October.
Yes, but the other thing we have to remember is that this is the Pope's not looking very well at the moment. And, you know, the whole thing could change. This is the thing about being a Pope. Could change remarkably quickly if there was a new Pope. So, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Well, I've definitely learned a lot. I started the day not knowing what a synod was. So here we go.
Yes. Well, I think many ordinary Catholics have had to go through that too. You know, they've known nothing at all about it. But then the trouble is, when ordinary people want to know something, they get excited by the subject and they get very disappointed if you don't produce anything at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully they do come October.
Yep, let us keep hoping. Let us keep hoping. And nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks for teaching me.
Very cool. No, great to discuss it.
All right, have a good evening.
Will do. Bye.